Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. We are so glad that you're here. We like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using forever, I think. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
I know I need that today. I need to know that the Lord is here, that we're not just going through the motions this morning, that we're not just checking something off a list by showing up at church, that we are actually gathering together for this opportunity to meet with the God who made us, to open our hearts to Him, to open our minds to Him. I mean, we believe that He's with us all week long, but something happens when you gather together, when you sing, when you pray, when you listen for His Spirit speaking through the Scriptures, when you gather around the table of our Lord Jesus, something happens that I want us all to be open to, okay? Let's bow our heads and pray to Him as we begin. Thank you, God. Thank you that today we have this opportunity to meet with you. Use everything we do during this hour, God, to help us to better connect with you. God, you know all the stuff that we've had going on this past week, just this morning. You know the things that that sometimes get us distracted. You know the things that sometimes weigh on our hearts. And God, we're grateful that we get to bring all of that to you today, so that through all that we do, we might offer ourselves to you and to receive whatever it is that you want to give, to receive your grace, to encounter your Spirit, to hear your voice. Thank you, God. Thank you. We are looking forward to seeing what this conversation with you might bring. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing.
Creations revealing your majesty.
thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all are gone before us, and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy.
Bible that, you know, we're all going to be singing holy, holy, holy up there.
And I just love Sunday mornings because that's just a little glimpse of that with all of you. And so I appreciate you joining in and singing along or worshiping in whatever way you feel connected to God, because that's the most important thing. I know not everybody feels it through music or feels it through singing, but maybe they feel it through dance or just prayer or whatever the case may be. I'm just thankful to worship with everybody this morning. And also just keep praying that my ankle stops hurting, because I really do want to stand up because I feel really weird in this chair. But for a season, I guess this is how I'm going to do it. Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Face toward Lord, you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. I invite you to pray with me, would you? Lord, thank you for the reminder this morning that you are with us. You're around us, you're before us, you're beside us, you're behind us, Lord. You surround us with your presence. And your blessings follow us everywhere we go. There's not a situation, there's not a circumstance, Lord, that your presence hasn't already encountered it. And you are on our side, Lord. You are for us and with us. I know for me that's reassuring, and I pray, Lord, that that's reassuring to someone else who needs that today. The reassurance of knowing that you are working on their behalf, no matter what it is that they're facing. That you are doing the good thing that they need, even if it's not necessarily the thing that they want. But trusting that you know what's best, Lord, and you will bring about the good in their life that they need according to your will. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for that truth, and I thank you for your presence here. For each person that has gathered here this morning, each person that joins us online, Lord, each one is so precious to you and to each other here. I thank you for just inviting us here this morning, for bringing us to this place. For your presence in this moment, in the worship through song, Lord, and later in the through worship through your word. What a humbling privilege it is to be able to do so, to worship you in this way, freely and openly, and worship you in freedom, Lord, in the freedom to worship in the way that connects each of us to you. That freedom can only come from you and through relationship with you. And thank you. Thank you so much this morning. Pray that you'll be with the rest of this service, with everything that is said and prayed and spoken. Lord, be with Pastor Rich as he brings your word to us. We already trust that you've spoken to him. We already trust that he is bringing your word for us. So I just pray an extra anointing for him this morning, an extra infilling. And may we receive your words, not just with our ears, not just the sound of it, Lord, but may we receive it with our hearts. And may it settle into our spirits and change us, Lord, transform us, even just that little bit, making us more like you today. We pray all these things, Lord, giving you honor and glory and praise and blessing as we pray them in your name. Amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
All right. So just a quick hello to all of you joining us online. Hi. Since we didn't get to shake your hand just now, feel free to drop us a comment wherever you're watching, whether it's Facebook, YouTube, whatever. We're glad that you're with us. Every Sunday I have people that tell me they're watching online, either they're traveling or they're sick or they're thinking about coming here maybe someday, or they're working, or, you know, all the different reasons why people can't be in the room with us. And we're grateful for the opportunity, grateful for the cameras in the back and the technology that lets that happen. And we're glad to have you with us. But for all of us, if there's any way that we can be praying for you, thanking God with you, answering a question for you, anything like that, there's a link on the screen. You can go to livinghope.info/connect and fill out a little online connect card. Or, since you're in the room that I'm looking at right here, there's some little green cards on a little silver table back there, and you can jot your note on that and then drop it in the offering box right next to it, and that way we can answer your question or be praying for you this week or anything of the sort. So whatever kind of feedback or whatever it is you might want to send us, draw us a picture, whatever it might be. And if you drop it in there, then we'll get it. And if you're giving today, you can drop that in the box as well. You can give online. All of that works. I just want to say, again, a real quick thank you to all of you who give. I know some of you give, like, consistently, faithfully. You grew up maybe, or at some point, you crossed that line of saying, you know what, I need to trust God with the first tenth of what he's given me. I'm going to tithe, and you've been giving faithfully to the church here. Some of you do it every week. Some of you do it every month, whatever. Some of you give it once a year because it works best to have it come out of your directly out of your IRA or something. But however you do it, thank you for those of you who faithfully give. And thank you to those of you who are on the beginning end of that journey. I know for many in the room, that's not something you grew up with. And things are tight, and like just to give anything at all is a struggle. And yet some of you do it anyway because God moves you to do it. Not because I beg you, because we don't do that here. We believe the verse that we have on the offering box back there from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want to say. It says that each of us should give what we've decided in our hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so, you know, you talk to God, and if what God would have you give and where he would have you give, I think it's a great thing to support the work of your local church, church you call home. That's wonderful. But I know that God has people supporting all kinds of different ministries and good work all over the place. So thank you to those of you who are stretching yourselves and who are giving for the first time or second time and trying to see if God is going to faithfully bless your faithfulness, your obedience. I believe that he does. And we got testimonies in the room from people that have been doing it for years and say, oh, yeah, God is faithful. So anyway, thank you. Thank you. That's just wanted to say thank you. We could not do the work that we do week in and week out without you. If you took one of those little baby bottles home, then you need to give that back today. Or maybe you can give directly to the Women's Center online if you want to. That's what I end up doing instead of writing a check or something. But if you brought a baby bottle, if you took one of those home and filled it with money or something, you want to give it back for them to support the work they do, caring for women in crisis pregnancy situations. Today's the day. We gave it to the end of May. This is the very end of May, so we need to give those back to them. So if for some reason you forgot and you need to swing it by here in the morning or something, Deb will be here in the morning, and you can probably get it to her then. But anyway, if you didn't, that's okay. Be praying for the people that they serve, for the moms, for the kids that they serve. It's a good thing. The next bike giveaway is actually going to be coming this Saturday, and they're just going to do kids' bikes. They got a whole bunch of kids' bikes and not as many adult bikes, and so they're like, we're just going to unload as many kids' bikes as we can this Saturday, 9 to noon. So this Saturday, if you know somebody that needs a kids' bike, great, bring them on by, and they'll be giving them away. And if you have a bike to donate, whether it's a kids or adult or whatever size, you can drop it off. I think they're going to do one on the 27th, 3 weeks later at from 9 to 11 for all sizes bikes. But this Saturday, 9 to noon, kids' bikes out in the parking lot. And then the next Saturday, the 13th, that group, Healing with Human Connection, they do this trauma reboot class on Monday nights here. They've done several different conferences. We love partnering with them to bring good things to the community. They're going to be putting on a conference. We're hosting it here on the 13th. For people who've experienced church hurt. If you've heard that phrase before, maybe you've been hurt by church. Maybe that's why you're here today. You were hurt by a church years ago. It took you a while, and then finally you found a church like, you know what, these people are kind. They're nice. I can sit behind a table. I can not get too close for a while. I can kind of ease myself back into the world of church here at Living Hope. Great. That's fantastic. We're glad that we've been able to be that kind of place for you. Maybe you know a friend who they've been wounded and they haven't wanted to come back to church for a long time. That's what this little workshop day is for. They described it a day of healing, truth, and hope. So if you want to be here, if you have a friend that you want to invite, they still have some open spots and it is free. So it's Saturday the 13th from 9 to 3. And you can scan that little thing to register. I just shared it on the church Facebook page this morning. You can go there. There's a link to the event. And you can sign up that way as well. One thing I know I did not get onto the back of the bulletin here. Many of you guys know we're here when we talked about Zach Lampton's going to an event called NYC, Nazarene Youth, is it convention? Conference? Conference. Okay, I can't remember. They changed what the C stood for at some point, and I couldn't remember what it was now. Anyway, he's going to that this summer, and it's going to be a fantastic event. Some of you helped to get him there by donating. One of the things that all the students going are doing is they're taking some stuff with them to be a blessing to some of the poor and the people in that community, some of the needs that are present there. And so out in the lobby, if you go around the corner kind of by the drinking fountain, there's a poster on the wall, and there are some little sign-up sheets there. They're basically going to be putting together, some of you here when we put together crisis care kits, where we pack all these little goody things, toothbrushes and toothpaste and razors and stuff like that, towels, and pack them in these bags and put them in these boxes. They're basically doing that kind of a thing where they're going. So out there, he's supposed to bring three of them. And so there's a little sign-up sheet for three different things, a list of items. And if you see something on there, you're like, hey, I could bring that. Just put your initials next to it. And they need them back here sometime before, by the 21st, by Father's Day. So you got like 2 or 3 weeks, and you can bring it back here. We'll have a box or something out here that you can dump those things in. And then whatever's come in, he can take with him on the trip. And if you're looking at it and thinking like, I'm not making it to the store, I'm not going to look for something that size, but can I give you $10 for it or something? You can do that too, all right? I guess just put it in an envelope or something and say, you know, for NYC or for Zach or something like that, and we'll know, oh, okay, that's for those things he's supposed to be taking with him to NYC, all right? I guess if you're giving online, you could just give it to youth ministry and then let us know you did it so we can make sure that goes to buying those things. All right, I think that's it. We've got... I'm excited for this little message series we're starting today, but first, I want us to bow our heads. I want us to pray. Thank you, God. It's fun to give away bikes. It's fun to be a blessing to others. It's fun to be a part of the work you're doing here in the world, God. We're grateful that you don't just pour things out of us, but that you also pour things into us. We're thankful that you speak to us. Words of encouragement, words of hope. God, that's what we want to hear today. As we look at the scriptures, we want to connect with you. We want to hear your spirit speaking through these ancient words. Thank you, God. We are so grateful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One reason I'm glad for the cameras in the back and all that is so that when I'm gone, like I was last week, I can catch up. It was good to be able to worship with you guys remotely this past Sunday. The music and everything, the prayers, and Pastor Judy's message on Pentecost Sunday, the gift of God's Holy Spirit. Today is another one of those holidays, Christian holidays, that we really don't... always remember. It's called Trinity Sunday, which is a Sunday that thinks about the fact that God gives all of himself to us in his son, Jesus Christ. That when we see Jesus, we see not just an ordinary human teacher or something, but he's actually the Son of God, like God in the flesh. And then when Jesus ascends into heaven, he promised to give all of himself to us, all of God's self to us in his Holy Spirit. That somehow in the mystery of how God works, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that when we encounter God, we encounter him in those kinds of ways. And so this is a Sunday basically not to try to do a theology lesson and try to make our heads hurt, but this is a day to celebrate the ways that God encounters us. And so the series that we're kicking off today is really kind of introduced by the song that Missy sang earlier, The Blessing, because today's one of today's scriptures, every now and then, when I'm thinking like, okay, God, what would you have me preach this coming week or a month from now or whatever, when I'm looking ahead at the dates, I look to see what churches around the world are preaching from that day, because there are several churches where, you know, like the pastors have that given to them. Here, we're part of the Church of the Nazarene. They don't tell me what I got to preach every Sunday or anything like that, or what scriptures we have to read or songs we have to sing. That's kind of left up to each individual church to decide that kind of thing. But there are other traditions where they work together and they say collectively around the world, all the pastors in the Lutheran churches or the Roman Catholic churches or what, you know, they're all going to read the same scriptures on the same days. And one of the scriptures that's being read in many churches around the world today is this one that is in bold in your notes that I end just about every service with. It's a blessing. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It's how the Apostle Paul ends his second letter to the Corinthians. And so we're going to look at that scripture today and what's going on in that scripture. And that's going to kick off a little 3-week series on blessings, on the fact that God wants to bless us, wants to bless you. That this is what God does from the very beginning. And I know that sometimes we think, when we think of God, we think, oh yeah, God's the angry old guy in the sky who's just waiting for me to mess up so he can, you know, toss me a lightning bolt or something, or a disease or something like that. He's the disappointed dad who's always looking down and thinking, oh, if you would just get things right, come on, man, how long is it going to take you to figure this thing out? Or he's the absentee, you know, father who maybe he made us a long time ago, maybe somehow, but he sure doesn't seem to be present now. And that's not the picture the Bible gives us of God at all. The picture from the very first page of the Bible, in fact, I put from Genesis chapter 1, as soon as God creates us, says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And the very next words in the Bible are, then God blessed them. That what God wants to do for human beings is bless us, is provide for us, is give us give us meaning and purpose and life, and the kind of life that isn't just like just enough to get by, but the kind of life that like overflows. He wants to bless us, to give us a good life, to do this life with us. And God blesses us in all sorts of different ways. And that word blessing appears a lot in the book of Genesis. Because not only does God bless people, but then they bless each other. And, you know, fathers pass down their inheritance to their kids by blessing them. And there's a whole story in there where one son impersonates the other son to steal his blessing and all of that. It's like they really put some weight behind this. They believe in the book of Genesis, the people we read about, they believe that when someone pronounces blessing, that there's like a reality to that. It's not just somebody saying like, hey, hope you have a good day, you know. Or have a good weekend, or have a good summer now that school's over. You know, it's like we're just kind of hoping. But no, when God blesses, or when they pronounce a blessing, it's like there's some authority there when it comes from God. You know, just like there's some authority there when it comes from a dad who's blessing his kids and who's going to be the one to decide which of my kids gets what, you know. And if so, they bless the one child with like, here's, you're going to be blessed with my, you know, family farm or the family business. Like, yep. There's some weight that the Father has the authority to give that. And so when God blesses us, it's like his way of giving us his goodness. You get to Genesis chapter 12, and you see God selecting a particular person, a particular family, Abram. There gets named Abraham, father of many nations, and calls him to leave where he's comfortable and to move to a new land, to let God lead him into a beautiful future. And here's what he says to him. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. In other words, he's saying, I'll be on your side. People treat you well, I'll treat them well. People treat you poorly, I'll treat them poorly. He says, all the families on earth will be blessed through you. He's saying, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. So that the blessings of God won't stop with you, but will touch every nation on the face of the earth. And that's what God wants for us. I mean, he doesn't just want to bless us. He wants to bless us to be a blessing. He wants his blessings, his goodness, his abundance to flow through us to touch the people around us. But it does start by actually receiving those blessings. So we're going to look at some of those today and next week and the week after. What does it mean to be blessed by God? And he continues throughout the book of the Bible, as you go from book to book to book to book in the Bible, God continues to bless. So you get to one of the letters in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians. He says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. And because we have put our trust in Jesus and we've been united with him, he says, God's poured out every blessing in heaven on us. And this is who God is. It's what he wants to continue to do. And so one picture of that is at the end of this second letter to the Corinthians. It's the very last verse of the book where the Apostle Paul, again, he says to this group of Christians who are not getting everything right by far. I was just listening again to 1st and 2nd Corinthians on the Bible app on my phone. I was just listening to them again this morning, actually. I'm like, man, these guys, they had some issues, you know. And Paul's having to be kind of confrontational with them at times, pretty strict with them. But he ends the whole thing by saying, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is what he wants for these Christian friends of his, these people he's introduced to Jesus and helped to form into a church. And it's the reason I end nearly every service with this blessing lately. For one thing, it's easy for me to remember. The one we'll do next week, the one that we just sang a minute ago, for some reason gets jumbled in my head every now and then. As he's turning his face, is his face shining? What's happening with God's face? We're actually going to talk about that one next week. So maybe I'll remember it better by the end of next week. But this one, for whatever reason, stuck in my brain easier. But also, just because it's broad, it's encompassing, it speaks to so much of what God wants for each and every one of us. So we're just going to kind of walk through that today. What are these things? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean for us to experience these things? What does it mean for us to experience all that God has for us as he gives himself to us in his Son Jesus Christ and pours himself out into our lives by his Holy Spirit? So first up, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says this, and I can't do better than the Apostle Paul, so I'm just going to read this. And I'd like for us to hear this. I guess I don't want you just to listen to me. I don't want you just to follow along with your eyes. But I want you to, maybe we can be a little reflective as we hear this. Maybe you can kind of picture some of this going on. Picture God looking at you or what God's doing for us. Maybe you can just realize that, like, oh, this is for me. Oh, this isn't just for some people a long time ago. This is something God has done for me. He says, God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I hear in Paul's words here this, it's kind of this humility that says, look, I mean, and Paul was somebody who, like, he was driven, he was focused. He was the kind of guy that he'd try to do everything right. He had been raised a Pharisee. He had been raised an observant Jew. He knew all the laws, all the rules, and he was trying to do it right. If you remember the Pharisees, as Jesus interacted with them, they were particular. You know, they tried to get everything to do everything God expected them to do. And here's Paul saying, look, salvation isn't a reward for the good things we've done. We can't brag about this. Like, it doesn't matter how hard I've tried to do everything right. It's not like I earned my salvation. He says, just God's grace. It's just God's love that he has shown that we don't deserve. It's God being good in a way that I didn't earn. It's a gift. That's the core idea behind the word grace, is that idea of gift. That this is just given. It's not something deserved. It's not something earned. It's just gift. Maybe you've experienced that before where you gave somebody something as a gift. You were just being generous. And they were like, they wanted to, like, pay you back for it somehow or like do something for you to make up. And you're like, no, this is a gift. it's a gift. It's not something you're earning. It's not something you're you know, working for. It's just a gift. And this is how God is toward us. Because of Jesus Christ, we get to experience this amazing grace of God that washes us and makes us new, that finally deals with our sin problem. That's those 3 weeks I was having to deal with, you know, before I was gone last week for that wedding. You're talking about the world, the flesh, and the devil, and it felt like it's 3 weeks on all these enemies, these things that are trying to take us down, and it's like Jesus has dealt with all this. You know, he's done it. And so that we can be free. We were dead in our sins, but Jesus Christ has met us there. And we were raised with Christ. And we were given life as Jesus defeated death. We are united with him and kind of in some spiritual way present with him in these heavenly realms, in God's space, where our life is with Jesus. Jesus is present with us. And this is all just God's grace. Nothing that we've done to earn it. Which means, if you've been a goody two-shoes all your life, if you've never broken any rules, if you've done all the right stuff, good for you. That's fantastic that you have so few regrets, you know, or so few hang-ups or so few consequences from, you know, bad decisions or whatever. But that's not why God loves you, you know. That's not what gets you into heaven someday. There's no scales that get balanced out, you know, where all my good deeds are going to outweigh my bad deeds or something. That's not... That would be payment. This is grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it also means if you were like the opposite of goody two shoes, a baddie one shoe, I don't know what the opposite of that is. Anyway, if you were a scoundrel, if you were like, you know, hurting people and hurting yourself and being on the side of destruction and death and you got caught up in that and you stayed in that for years perhaps, if it's only been recently or maybe just today that God's been grabbing a hold of you and saying, hey, come on, I can free you from that. I can set you free. You don't have to be a slave to that destruction anymore, to that selfishness. You don't have to be caught up in that for the rest of your life. I can set you free. I can make alive what's been dead in you. You could be the worst person on the face of the earth, and God is ready to forgive. He's ready to be good and to be gracious. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Lord. Man. Yeah, because honestly, there's not a single one of us that's so good that God doesn't have anything to forgive. Right? The Bible's real clear on that. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standard, you know, of what God intended for us when he created us. It's God's grace that changes us from the inside out, makes us anew. That's why he says we're his masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he planned for us. So now we can be on the good side of life so that we can be a blessing to others. In the book of Acts, they were grappling with what this means as the good news of Jesus was spreading around the world. And it wasn't staying within the confines of Judaism, of the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their descendants. And as it was spreading out, and now people from all walks of life and all around the Mediterranean world were starting to say yes to Jesus. And like, we want to follow this Jesus, this Jewish Messiah. You know, what does this mean for us? Do we have to convert to Judaism? What's this mean? And the church kind of met together in like a church council. You can read in Acts 15. And they're trying to figure out, okay, what do we need to do? And they end up saying, like, seems good to the Holy Spirit, seems good to us, not to lay the whole law of Moses on everybody, but because that's not what saves us anyway. In fact, this is the line I included in your notes. We believe that we're all saved the same way by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. I've got a question for you before I move on from this. Have you experienced the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Have you allowed yourself to experience it? Or are you still like beating yourself up over your failures or over the things that you did wrong? Some maybe years ago, I've talked to people who they're still obsessing over something they did years ago. And I've heard people say, you know, like, oh, come on, man, give yourself some grace. And there's a part of me wants to use that phrase, but part of me really doesn't, because you're not giving yourself this grace. you're just allowing yourself to experience the grace that God is offering. Have you allowed yourself to experience God's grace? Have you allowed yourself to come face to face with the great debt that you owe and then realize that God has forgiven that debt and that you don't owe it anymore, that weight is no longer hanging over your head, that God's not just waiting for you to screw up so he can like, oh, here we come, now I'm going to punish you for all that. That God is, no, he's gracious, he's forgiven. Have you allowed yourself to experience the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Once you have, man, it makes it so much easier than to be gracious toward others. Once you're aware of how much God's forgiven you, it makes it so much easier than to forgive those around you who've hurt you. It's like what we pray every week, and we'll pray in a few minutes, you know, that, oh, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, forgive me, God, for stepping on your toes just like I forgive the people who've stepped on mine. Forgive me for the great debt that I owe you, just like I'm forgiving people the debt that they owe me. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. All right, the love of God. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that is what we are. chapter later, he says, anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, here's a funny little bit when it comes to this doctrine of the Trinity. And it's here in this verse, you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The way our brains want to work, we want to try to make sense of this idea that somehow God is three persons but one God. And I'll just be honest, it's a mind bender, okay? Like I said, the way that best makes sense of it to me is the idea that God, our Heavenly Father, gives all of himself to us in Jesus. Like he holds nothing back, but somehow all of God is present with us in Jesus Christ. And then that God holds nothing back, but gives all of himself to us in his Holy Spirit. And so it's not like part of God is there in Jesus. This is like God present in Jesus Christ. It's not just like part of God that's present there when the Holy Spirit is with us, but no, this is God himself with us. It's not just like an emissary that he sent or something. No, this is God, the presence of God. And scripture goes back and forth and talks about the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. It's like somehow these three persons, the Father, Son, and Spirit, are all like, they just don't hold anything back from each other or hold anything back from us. They just give all of themselves to each other and all of themselves to us. So it's like hard to draw a line sometimes between where does one start and where does the next one begin. And so the language, like if we were talking about Father, Son, and Spirit, it's like, well, this is the love of the Father then, right? Like throughout the Bible, when you hear God referenced, it's usually a reference to our Heavenly Father when you're thinking like of the Father, Son, Spirit thing. And it's used the label God for it. But then God is called Father over and over again, just like in that verse there. So I'll leave that as a side because I think for most of us, that's not something that we get too caught up with, all right? We will come back to it once more before we leave. But the idea here is that God really does love us, really does love you. And again, kind of like when I was asking, have you allowed yourself to experience the grace of Christ, to know that weight is lifted off of you? Have you allowed yourself to realize that God really does love you? Like that he's fond of you? Yeah.
When I fall down the stairs with my bike, I felt like the Holy Spirit was in me.
Yeah.
And I felt like I saw the Almighty God.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful.
That's great, Diane. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's a miracle that I made it through it.
That's right. There was a time when Diane was taking a bike down the stairs and fell, and like if you guys couldn't hear what she was saying, felt like God was present with her right there, protecting her, helping her, felt the love of God cradling her in that moment. And I was just talking with some others of you just this morning and different occasions where we have moments like that where we experience God's love in some very concrete ways. Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, my dad's got stories to share. My mom, me, we all have stories to share of how God has been present in our lives. And so have you allowed yourself to know that God really does love you? And that love isn't just, we often, you know, use love like in a very emotional way, like, oh yeah, like God likes me or something, or he's fond of me or something. Like when we say we love something, often we're referring to our emotions, and that's why people like fall in love or fall out of love, because it's just an emotional thing. But love for the Bible is more like an action and a choice that you choose to love someone. You commit yourself to someone for their good. And that's what God has done for us. He said, look, I'm committed to you for your good. He has loved us with an everlasting love, the Bible says in one place. And so I just want to read from Romans chapter 8 with the Apostle Paul, who's been through some serious stuff in his own life and is writing to some Christians in the heart of the empire who are about to experience some really hard times. And we've known some of that from history. He says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Saying that's what he's shown us in Jesus, that God won't hold back out of love for us, that he won't allow anything to separate us from his love. Whatever your circumstances, however good, however bad, they cannot separate you from the love of your Heavenly Father. Whatever your life experiences, whatever your own failures, they cannot separate you from the love of your Heavenly Father. I was telling my boys that again just last night, reminding them as they were having to stop them from hurting each other and once again having to try to. Anyway, I was reminding them, hey, look, remember, you're my boys, and I love you. Nothing's ever going to change that, right? This is what God might say to you. You're my child. I love you, and nothing is ever going to change that. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. In his letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ, with us. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. This is one thing that the Holy Spirit does. We see it played out in the book of Acts that Pastor Judy was kind of getting us into last Sunday. I don't know if you read Acts chapter 2 later on your own or if you keep reading that book, but we see that's what the Holy Spirit does, knits people together from all over the world, from different religious backgrounds, from all over the place. God's Holy Spirit brings us together to be one people, to be brothers and sisters in one family. It's this fellowship with each other that we experience because God's Holy Spirit knits us together in this way. We belong to each other. The rest of 1 Corinthians 12. Again, these Corinthians, they needed this. They needed this blessing from Paul because they weren't necessarily experiencing this fellowship. They were cutting each other off. They were saying like, oh, I follow this teacher. I follow that teacher. I follow this one. You know, my teacher's better than yours, or the gifts that God's given me are better than the gifts God's given you. Or they were constantly kind of having trouble with this thing. And he's letting them know, look, God's Holy Spirit has knit us all together into one body. We belong to each other. We can't reject each other. So it's what this fellowship is. It's this openness to each other, this doing life together, a fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just with each other. It's also a fellowship with God that we're invited into. And to go back to 1 John for a moment, he's starting his letter saying, like, look, we're not making this stuff up. We actually walked and talked with Jesus. We saw these things. And so he says, we proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We're writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. He describes the work of the Holy Spirit without naming the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit brings us into this fellowship with our Heavenly Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, and with each other. It's kind of like God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's almost like they're at a table together, you know, enjoying a feast together, and they just keep making room for more and more of us at the table with them. They just keep adding a leaf to the table. They just keep adding a plate and adding the thing like, oh, no, you got to be in here too. Oh, and you got to get in here too. Oh, you got to get in here too. And they just keep expanding the circle to include all of us in this amazing relationship of love that the Father has for the Son and the Son has for the Father. And that the Spirit includes us as a part of it. That's really at the heart of this doctrine of the Trinity. It's not some way of, I mean, in some ways, yeah, it's trying to make sense of, well, who is Jesus? Is he really God? Is he just a teacher? You know, all this kind of stuff. But for what it means for us, it means that God is trying to include us in his very own life and in his love. That he is embracing us in that way, that he wants us to have this fellowship with him and to include others in it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Just like it roped us in, now we get to be a part of roping others in until finally, well, the Bible says until finally all things are brought together under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And until he is all in all, until he rules over all things, until there won't be any, that's why there won't be any more war or violence or hatred, because finally we will all be one family. Finally, we'll all be seated at his banquet table. This is for us all. That's where the blessing ends. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I don't think Pastor Judy was able to get all the way to the end of Peter's message in Acts chapter 2, but at the very end, after Peter preaches, they're like, well, what do we do with this? You know, so we missed it. Like, Jesus came and then we killed him, but God raised him from the dead. Okay, so he is Lord, and now what about us? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. His promises to you and to your children and to those far away, all who've been called by the Lord our God. He said there's nobody left out of this. He wants everyone to experience the grace of Christ, everyone to experience the love of their Heavenly Father, for all of us to experience the gift, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I pray that all three of these are being experienced by you in your life today. And if you find that, like, oh, you know what? I'm kind of missing out on this one. I haven't allowed myself to experience this. Then as we pray in just a moment, as we prepare our hearts for communion, allow me to pray for you. Okay, let's do that. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Father, this is my prayer for each and every one of us, that we would experience this blessing, this benediction that the Apostle Paul used to end his second letter to these Christians in Corinth. That every one of us here would experience the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that our sins are forgiven. That we would all experience the love of God, our Heavenly Father. That we would have a sense, Father, that you are smiling at us. That you truly do love us and want our best and our good. And would you help us to experience the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? This openness to each other and to those that you will include in the future. And this openness to you. God, you know it can be easier for us sometimes. We think it's less painful to close ourselves off, to shrink back from the difficulties of human relationship. But when we do that, God, we also find ourselves shrinking back from this connection with you. And so would you help us to be open to your grace, to your love, to the fellowship of your Holy Spirit, that we can live lives receiving all that you have to give, and then that we can be a people that turn around and share all of your blessings with those around us. Thank you, God. As you do this, God, I mean, heal those hurts that we've experienced. Heal what's been broken in us that makes it so hard for us to be open to receive what you have to give. Perhaps this sacrament can be some holy medicine for us today. Thank you that we get to celebrate together with Christians around the world this sacrament of Holy Communion, offering to you these gifts of bread and juice. We pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body, in his blood. Jesus, you took bread and gave it to your disciples and said, "This is my body given for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." You took the cup and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." And so as we come to your table today, we're not just going through some empty religious ritual. We're coming to your table to meet with you, to receive your grace, to receive your life that you have shared with us today, Lord Jesus. As we receive this bread and this juice into our bodies, may we receive your grace, your love, the transforming work of your Holy Spirit, changing us from the inside out so that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands and feet. Thank you, God, for the forgiveness that you offer us in your Son, Jesus Christ, that today as we confess our sins to you, acknowledging that we've not always loved you with all that we are, not always loved our neighbors as ourselves, not always been open to receive what you want to give, to allow you to bless us in these ways. Forgive us, God, for missing out. Thank you for being gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, quick to forgive. Thank you again for the new life that you give us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to live in that freedom, to live that new life, to experience your grace and to share it with others. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. It's open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today. We've tried to make it possible for all of us to participate. We've got some regular, it's like pita bread that's cut up. We've got some round gluten-free wafers if you need that. Or we've got some little cups if you'd rather take it back and like get to your own little wafer and juice in there. Or we've got some of those on a table in the back as well. You might have grabbed on the way in. We just don't want anything. We don't want germs or anything else to keep anyone from the table of Jesus. So if today you are hungry for his grace, today you are grateful for his love, and let's celebrate. Let's give thanks.
It's okay if it's hard to believe. not the end.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that goodbye was not the end, but that you gave yourself to us in the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Again, God, would you fill us today with the Spirit of Christ? Would you change us from the inside out? Would you help us to live in this world as the body of Christ? As people so full of your grace and changed by your love that we just can't help but bless the people that you send us to. Thank you, God. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen.